You've probably already looked and seen in your bulletin the title of today's message is called Self-Control. And so oftentimes words like discipline or submission or surrender or obedience do not set well with us. So oftentimes we think of submission and surrender as giving up. But when we surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not giving up at all. Today I want to give us a little challenge. Matter of fact, I've challenged you a bunch lately, haven't I? How you doing in these challenges? How you doing on walking with Jesus? How you doing in reading your word? How you doing in your prayer life? Today I want to challenge us with the phrase called self-control. Might not be popular. Matter of fact, it's not popular in America. We have no control in America anymore. I fear that's why we are at, I believe, about $9.7 trillion in debt, because we don't have any control anymore in America. So why self-control, Jim? Why are you talking about self-control, preacher? Because self-control is listed as one of the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5. We're going to turn to Galatians 5. And we're going to be reminded of the fruits of the Spirit. And we're going to focus on the fruit of the Spirit called self-control today. Because Paul is encouraging and admonishing the churches in Galatia, that region in those churches, that we, under the umbrella of the church, had best have some self-control. Society is out of control. And if we have lost control in the church of God, then we need to repent and get back on our walk with Christ and get some self-control again. What are the fruits of the spirits? I believe it's evidence. It's evidence. When I have opened up my heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ, I have also invited the Spirit of the living God in. And how much rain will I give Him? It is evidence, these fruits of the Spirit, that I am giving God the controls of my life. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, and all those things. And then we get to self-control. It's evidence of the living God in our lives. It's evidence that I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, that I've been reconciled unto God the Father through faith in Christ. It's evidence that the Holy Spirit of God is living in me. And so although the topic today of self-control may not be popular in America or the world or even churches today, I believe it's relevant. So let's look at Galatians 5 and see what Paul says to the churches there in the region called Galatia about walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh and exercising self-control. Galatians 5, I'm reading from New King James Version. Is that what we're going to see on the big screen? All right. If you have your Bible, you check it out. Don't take my word for it. Believe it from the Word. Galatians 5:16 says this, I say then, he's talking to the churches in Galatia, in Iconium, in Lystra, and Derbe, and places like that. I say to you then, he said, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and when you do, he says, you can see what he says, and I'm adding a little bit, when you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You see, there's a war going on inside of us. There's a war going on in America. There's a war going on in the universe. There's a war going on in churches, and there's nothing the adversary would like us better to do than follow the lust of the flesh. And Paul says, be very aware, churches of God, be very aware to walk in the Spirit. And when you walk in the Spirit, he said, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, if you're only led by the Spirit, he says, you are not under the law. And I like the way that the New Living Translation translates that. It says, you are not under the obligation of the law of Moses because of the Spirit of Christ, which is leading us and guiding us and directing us. Verse number 19. He reminds them where they have been. He reminds us where we have been. He reminds us where society is at right now. And oftentimes, perhaps, even in the church house, we are there. He reminds us now the works of the flesh are evident. And he talks about the first four, their sexual sins, adultery and fornication and uncleanness and lewdness. And he talks about in verse 20, different kinds. He talks about idolatry against God, having all kinds of idols against us. He talks about sorcery, according to the New King James. Sorcery comes from the Greek word pharmakia. It's where we get our word pharmacy. And so sorcery in this context means more than magic, more than witchcraft. It means drugs. They liked them too. They liked hallucinogenic things. And he says sorcery. Then he moves on to our relationships with people. Hatred. These are works of the flesh. Contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions. There it is again. I've mentioned to us over and over how I fear in America we're worshiping at the altar of me. It's all about me. And Paul says to the church folks there, the works of the flesh are selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies. We talked about that last week with false doctrines, false prophets, and false teachers. In verse 21, he talks about envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, as I also told you in time past. Listen close now. That those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul says to the church, don't let the flesh take control. Let the Spirit of the living God take control, because that war is going on. And if we give in to it, the flesh will win out. If we let the Spirit lead, the Spirit will win out. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit, when we let the Spirit lead, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. And the New King James says long-suffering, but you know what it really means? Patience. How you doing on patience? Fruits of the Spirit. Kindness. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are evidences of the Spirit of God living in us. These are evidences that Christ has come into our life. Against such there is no law, because they're Spirit-based. There is no law about these things because they're Spirit-based. And for those who are Christ's, those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh. We need to, if we haven't, crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. He's talking to churches today too, friends. The world around us is all about the flesh. But these things have filtered into the church house. And he's talking to the churches of America as well as Iconium and Lystra in those days. I've read this through the Amplified Version. I've read it through the ESV. I've read it through the NLT, and they're all good versions. They have some different words, but they say the same thing. And so if you have a Bible or two, read them and see what he's saying to us. Read what he's saying to us about living in the flesh versus being walking in the Spirit. We can take a list of the offenses that he's listed here. We can look at them by in detail. We don't have time for that. We can include some of life. But I want us to think about life today. I want us to think about my life, about your life, about life in the world, about life at home, about life in the church. And who is leading in your life? Is it your flesh or is it the Spirit of the living God? Because that's what he calls Christians to be led by. Forget the flesh anymore, because it's the Spirit of the living God that leads us. That's what he calls us to do. And so he calls us to this thing called self-control. The Amplified calls it restraint. Restraint. According to verse 16 of this chapter, self-control is simply letting the Spirit of God direct you, not our fleshly desires. So let me ask you and challenge you, where are we having trouble with not having self-control? What am I struggling with? What are we struggling with in churches? And let me ask you this to go along with it. Are we Christ followers? Do we even desire to be led by the Spirit of the living God? Or do we just throw up our hands and say, I can't do it. I'm going with the flesh on this one. Do we desire to be led by the Spirit of God in our church house? And when we do, there will be struggles and the Spirit will help us walk in the flesh. I mean, out of the flesh and in the Spirit will help us. But we've got to recognize if we are out of control. We've got to recognize that we're no longer controlling it. So let me throw out a few. And let me say, like I did for the first service, my intention here today is not for stomping on toes. My intention is not for critique and hurting feelings. My intention is for the church of God to come out of their slumber and awaken to the Spirit of the living God. My intent is for us to see what's in the Word of God and take heed, to wake up to what the Word of the living God says to us. And so I ask you today, this morning, in your life, this is not about your husband or your wife or your boyfriend or your girlfriend. It's not about your neighbor. It's not about the church down the street. It is about us. Do I have control over these things in my life? Do I have complete control when it comes to things like drinking, alcohol, pop, you name it? Do I have control when it comes to gambling? I'll say more about those two in a minute. Do I have control over lust and greed and covetousness? Our society is coveting everything around us. Oh, nice pickup. I should have me one of them. Oh, nice four-wheeler, nice tractor, more cows, more land, more this, more that. All we want is, all we're doing is coveting and lusting and greeding after something else. Paul says, let it not be named among you. He said, get control. Let the Spirit of the living God take the controls of your life. How about anger? How about hatred? How about hostility and quarreling? He mentions those. How about murder? Jesus likened hating somebody or being so angry with somebody and conniving things in our mind and our heart. We don't have to do the act. We've already done it in our mind. Self-control, Paul says. How about sexual immoralities? He mentions above fornication and adultery, homosexuality, pornography, and implied in there is incest, prostitution, rape, bestiality, you name it, it's all sexual immorality. He mentions these things, and he said, get self-control. How about selfish ambitions? Did you recognize in that list he talks about me-isms? It's not all about me. Selfish ambitions is of the flesh. And many of you have talked to me over the last couple of years about this topic. It's not listed up there, and it's not, matter of fact, it ain't listed anywhere in the Bible, but you've asked me about it, and so I'll say just a moment about it if we have time. It's called smoking. How about spending? How about spending? Is our spending in control, or are my credit cards maxed out? Am I spending what I don't have? Are we always buying houses that we don't need? Are we adding on to houses that we don't need? Are we buying houses that are so expensive we can't pay for them? I think there could be a reason that we're in the economic issues in the housing market today that we are, because we haven't got self-control any longer. We just let the world lead, and we let the flesh lead, and anything goes, and everything goes. How about this? Have you got control over the busyness of your life? Are we too busy for God? Well, Jim, I'm busy in the church house. Are you too busy to take time to be alone with God? Are you too busy to be still and know that He is still God? How about your language? Have we got control over that? Offensive, foul, disorderly, whatever. Have we got control over that? How about our gossip and our backbiting? Are we got control over that? How about TV and internet? You know what the national average is today for the average person spends this much time? Anybody read that statistic lately? What is it? What have you read? Lana heard me this morning. It's between 6 and 7 hours a day. Have we got any self-control? And for myself, and perhaps you as well, how about do I have self-control even in eating? Or do I have the third piece of pie just because it's still there? How are we doing on our self-control? Does the Spirit of God control these areas of your lives, or are we letting the flesh control these areas? Let me say something and listen to this closely because I believe it's true. It's from me, so if you disagree, that's okay. I might not be right, but I think I am. If I cannot stop one of these behaviors today, or if I can't have complete control over things like spending and eating, I need to do a little bit. I do not have control over them at all. If I cannot stop, if I'm desiring, even though it's a little of this or a little of that, if I cannot stop, I'm not in control. And so I ask us today, how is our self-control? And we can pick a couple and we can argue about, well, this or that. We might argue that, well, I'm not a drunk, Jim. I only drink a little, or I only do this, or I only do that. And let me tell you about that. Alcohol is killing America. Alcohol is tearing families apart. Alcohol is ruining homes. Alcohol is killing people on the streets, young people and old alike. It doesn't care. I, like Dr. David Jeremiah, my response to when we start making excuses is similar to his that said the drunk was never drunk until at one point he took the first drink. I simply ask you this, if you have some drink in mind or in your schedule, do you have absolute control or do you look forward to it? Because if you look forward to it, it controls you. The Bible has plenty to say about this, including how unwise we are in Proverbs 20 and in Proverbs chapter 23. And I like Jeremiah's rationale when oftentimes we use the excuse, well, Jesus made it, John 2, verse 1. And I like the definitions that I've read from commentaries in Dr. Jeremiah's rationale that said, please don't use that excuse with me. Because brand new wine was not fermented, number one, and they diluted it from 3 to 10 times when it got diluted. And so when we start to look for excuses, guess what? We lost control. Am I right? When we start to look for excuses, some of you have told me this firsthand, because God has rescued from this plague. He's rescued you from this. But when we start to look for excuses, we have lost control of it. This could apply to so many things we've talked about here today, and I wonder about gambling in America today. Gambling is killing us. You say, Jim, I had lots of my coworkers tell me this, oh, you want to get on the power bill? No, I make a lot of money. Praise God, He blessed me with a good job down there, and I made a lot of money, but I said, I don't make enough for that. And they say to me, well, just one, or just this, or just that. It isn't just about just this or just that. The Bible says, he who is greedy for gain troubles his own house. Do you know anybody that's lost their house because of gambling? I do. Because they didn't get control. It only took the buying of the first one. They didn't become a gambler till they bought the first one. They didn't become a gambler till they pulled the arm the first time. Remember a couple of weeks ago, I told you, this person frequents a casino a lot. And she said to me, there's more praying in the casino than there is in the church house. Oh, Lord, help me win big and throw the money in and pull the lever. It's shameful. We have lost control. Proverbs 1:19 says, so are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners. And Proverbs 6:18, in the list that God hates, you know the verses. He hates feet that are swift in running to evil. Am I looking forward? I told one of my coworkers one time about this a while ago. Am I looking forward to the weekend to party down, to gamble, to drink, to whatever it is? If I am in trouble. I have no self-control left over whatsoever. Am I looking forward to it? Because God said in His Word, feet that run swiftly to evil, He hates it. Gambling. You may not agree with me on this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Gambling is from the devil, and it is evil in America. When I see children left in their cars while mom and dad are inside, shoving it in the old machine, and some of them have died in their cars, gambling is evil. And we can rationalize all day long, well, I only do this or I only do that. Either we do it or we don't. That's easy for me. That's easy for me to say. Sherry and I committed our lives to Christ a bunch of years ago, and we said we're going to walk with Jesus, and we're going to be led by the Spirit of the living God. So either we do these things or we don't. And that's what Paul is telling the church here. Don't be led by that fleshly stuff. Be led by the Spirit of the living God. That's what he's asking us to do. Be led by the Spirit of the living God. Gambling is evil. Gambling like drinking. Either I do it or I don't. It's that simple for me. And here's what he said. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. That's what Paul said. We could talk about eating. There's Bible verses about that in Proverbs 23. And we really don't have time to talk about much of this anymore because our time is pretty near gone. I'm about a third of the way through. But let me say this. I'll use myself for an illustration here. Do I eat because I need to or because I want to? When I get done eating and an hour later I'm back in the kitchen rummaging around for something sweet, am I eating because I need to or because I want to? The Bible has some things to say about that. The Bible has some things to say about self-control in watching TV, in playing video games, in watching the internet. The Bible has some things to say about sexual immoralities. That's the first thing on his list. Fornication means sexual intimacy between people before they're married. Adultery means sexual activity, even though I'm married, outside my marriage. Homosexuality, I think we got the gist on that. Pornography, do you know how many hits a day are on the WWWs in pornography per day in America? Who listened to Dr. Dobson last week and heard that number? Nobody? 65 million hits a day. There's only 300 million of us. And 65 million hits on the web a day in pornography. We are out of control. And this is happening in the church house. We're not going to sit here today and say we've never done it. We're not going to sit here and say we don't have any of these problems. Because when we don't let the Spirit of the living God lead us, we've got these issues. And praise be to God, there's forgiveness. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But we get sucked into the devil's lures and his traps and his ways. And pretty quick, there's a pop-up or there's a magazine or there's a movie. And all this stuff is entering into our house. And whether it's pornography or whether it's any other of these things that he's listing that have to do with a sexual nature, it is from the White House to the church house and in between. And Paul said, this is of the flesh, and those who walk in those ways have chosen, that's what I'm going to do, will not, emphasize, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Repent, the Bible tells us, if we've got caught up in that. Repent. And so our society is running rampant and out of control in the category of sexual immoralities. I don't watch this, by the way, but watch the soaps. I've heard about it. Watch the sitcoms. Listen to some of this talk radio. Listen and look at magazines. And it is everywhere in our society. And society says, give me more. Society says it's okay, and the Bible and the Word of God says it's not okay. It is against God. I have said it before, and I'll say it again. Sexual intimacy is designed for a man and a woman in marriage only. It is not designed for checking it out, all other avenues and all that other stuff. If you, dear ones, are living in any kind of this sexual sin, the Lord and His Word are behooving us to stop right now and repent. Confess it means we're doing it, and repent means turning away. Stop and confess and repent and get in a right relationship with God. America and our society says it's fine, it's good. Matter of fact, it says the more the better. That isn't what God said. If you are being entertained in your mind with somebody from the opposite sex, and you're starting to fantasize, and you're starting to spend more time in your mind with him or her that's not your wife, stop right now and repent and get right with God. If pornography has slipped into your magazine racks, if TV shows are starting to show nudity, if your internet has got a history of pornography, and you say, I don't think anybody can follow me. You got in your mind going, well, nobody can check, nobody can see me. God knows. Too late. God knows it already. You've been there, you've done it. If these things have crept in, even unaware, and starting to get a stranglehold on you, take drastic measures now to cut them out of your life. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 5:29. I'm going to paraphrase. He said, if your eye offends you, gouge it out. If your right hand offends you, whack it off. It's better for you to go into heaven without your eye or without your hand than going through life or going to hell with them. Take drastic measures and cut out this stuff now. Repent, confess and repent and get in right standing with God. Do you remember 20 years ago this month, Ted Bundy was put to death? You know why? Because he sexually assaulted and murdered to a confessed 28 women. But in his conversation with Dr. Dobson the night before he was put to death, it could have been 100. He didn't even know. You know why that all started? Pornography. Don't sit here, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's innocent. Oh, give me the, I'm okay, Jim, with the soft porn. I just check it out a little bit. It has controlled us in America. 65 million hits a day. It is controlling us. It is controlling us in the church house. We need to cut that out. We need to wipe it out. We need to, as Paul said, let it not be named among you no more. We need to do as Jesus said to the woman that was dragged and thrown in the dirt before him. I don't condemn you either. So we've got to repent. We've got to confess. But then we've got to take the instruction that he says, go and sin no more. We've got to cut that out of our lives. That's not self-control at all. Sexual sins are happening everywhere, including in the church. There's nothing the devil likes more than seeing pastors and church leaders and even parishioners fall to sexual temptation and sin. Just because it's happening in the church, it sure don't make it right. If we in the church start to let the living God lead us and be self-controlled, it'll happen a whole lot less frequently. Time is already up. We didn't get very far. But let me ask you a couple of these things. How's your anger? How's your control on your hatred? How's your control on selfish ambitions? Is everything about me? Everything about you? We better take a closer look at our self-control. How about sorcery? You say, Jim, I would never touch that with a 10-foot pole. It's all around us. Witchcraft, magic, and remember, sorcery, remember the Greek word I mentioned earlier, also includes drugs. Several of my close friends right here in our congregation have asked me, Jim, what about smoking? What can I do about that? And let me just say this. If you're reaching for them automatically after every meal, if you're walking out of the building, out of your workplace, out of the church house, out of your house, and reaching for them automatically, it controls you. Does the Bible say thou shalt not smoke or chew? No. I haven't found that yet. But I'll tell you what it does say. It says, know ye not that your body is the temple of the living God? So that's enough on that. The Bible has plenty to say about self-control. And let me close with this. We can read through this list of offenses that Paul has listed here. It's pretty extensive. We can talk about everyday life, you know, from TV and internet to eating or whatever it is. But we need to be sure of one thing. Even if I stopped every one of these things, every single one of them, we had a checklist and we stopped every one of them, we need to be sure of this. Just because I stopped them doesn't mean I have been born again. That is what saves us for heaven. And that is what gives us the wherewithal, the strength, the courage, the guidance, the leading to get out of what we were in. Have you been born of God? Have you surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ? Be sure of this. Controlling all of these is not going to get us anywhere until we know Christ. Until we have confessed and know Christ as Lord. And so we might say today, yes, Jim, I've done that, but I've got some struggles. Then repent. God is willing to forgive. Repent and go and sin no more. Or we might be in the category that says, you know, I've been trying to do a whole lot of things, but I've been doing it on my own. Then come to Christ. It happened today already in this service. People have given their lives to Christ. People that are being controlled by things have rededicated their lives to Christ, because we're not in control of these things. We're letting the flesh lead. And if we have not been born again, we will not have the help of the Holy Spirit of God. We need to get right with Christ. We need to repent and get right with Jesus. And then He will begin to give us the strength to overcome these things. We must let God reign. Amen? We're going to close. We've got a song and we've got some communion, so we're going to have to expedite things because our time has already passed. This song is, quite simply, I surrender. I surrender it all. And so let me ask you today, dear friends, have you surrendered it all to the Lord Jesus Christ? First and foremost, have you given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? And if you say, yes, Jim, I think I've done that, but I still got some struggles, then we need to come before God with humble heart and turn, repent, confess and repent, which is turning from whatever it is that's entrapping us. If we've never invited the Lord Jesus Christ into our life, we need to do that, because we're never going to have the strength on our own to overcome. We want to be overcomers. We want to be victorious. It's Jesus. It starts with Jesus. Giving our lives to the Master and letting the Spirit of the resurrected Jesus take the driver's seat of our lives. And so we want to be victorious. I think we do. I know I do. We've got to let the Spirit have control. We've got to give him the control of the fleshly desires. We've got to crucify the flesh, just like Paul said in Galatians 5. That's got to be a thing of the past. Are you hearing me today, brothers and sisters? The church in America, the body of Christ, the umbrella, has got to be led by the Spirit. If we're ever going to have revival, if we're ever going to see repentance, if we're ever going to see God leading this great nation again, we have got to be led by the Spirit. We've got to stop being led by the flesh. And we've got to start to let the Spirit of the living God take control. Let's bow our heads in prayer. And with our heads bowed, our eyes closed, and our hearts bowed before God, you know your heart, and so does the Lord God. Have you surrendered it all to the Lord Jesus Christ today, brothers and sisters? Have you surrendered it all? Temptation, sin, lifestyles. Have you invited the Master into your life to take control? We sang earlier, today is the day. Today is the day. And so if you're wondering about, I'm not sure if I know Christ, or if you're wondering about, I'm not sure if I'm being victorious, then I want you to know today that Jesus died on the cross at Calvary for us, for you and I, for our sin. And Jesus gave us the instruction when we come to Him that we might go and sin no more. So will you surrender to Him today, brothers and sisters? If you want to surrender to Him today, or you want to just surrender something in your life, slip your hand up and put it back down. I'm going to pray for you. I'm not going to pray for you by name. I'm not going to embarrass you. God knows your heart. God knows what you're wrestling with. And He can help you be victorious, but you've got to let Him in. You've got to let His Spirit take control. Father in heaven, we come before you this morning with repentant hearts. Too oftentimes in my heart, in my life, in our church, in our churches, in our nation, we have been far from you. And we repent. God in heaven, take control. Take control of my life. Take control of our lives. Take control, Spirit of the living God, of our churches, that we might be lights, that we might be salt. Oh God, we just surrender. I'm tired. We're tired, oh God. I hope in America's churches we're tired of doing things our own way. And we want to do it your way. So we surrender. And God in heaven, as we prepare for communion, We repent before you, sins before you, sins before humanity. And so examine our hearts this morning, Father, and help us to come before you having repented of our sin and surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for these dear ones that have indicated today, want to be led by the Spirit in all that I do. Thank you, Father, for their courage that says, I need Jesus. I need His Spirit. I want to be His child, and I want to walk in newness of life in the strength of the Holy Spirit of God. Strengthen them, Father. Encourage them, lead them, guide them. Help them to be shining lights for Jesus. Help the church, this church, our churches, oh God, to repent and be shining lights for you. I pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.